Praise the Lord. There is somebody that sent me a text. He says, Shalom, church. I hope the person is listening. I don't know if you are here or you are watching us. He said, from my view, I don't think the criteria for saying that a church does water baptism wrongly should be based on the method used, that is, sprinkling or immersion. There should be a better and tangible reason. In the Bible, Jesus told his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't specify how it should be done. His emphasis was on the name. So whichever method is done with water, so far it's by the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have any problem with that. Thanks and God bless. That is the person that sent this message. While that person sent this message, immediately, the same day, almost the same time, another message came in. And this one says, Sir, I was watching your sermon on correct water baptism, question and answers. The questionnaire who was arguing with you, it's not his fault. It is possible for someone to be sick and not know that he is sick. It is only when he is well that he will realize that he has been sick. Do you remember I was the one commanding you never to preach serpent seed again? Now I am one of the people going from state to state preaching serpent seed. He said, all the things that man was saying is Satan inspired. His backup is the devil. All I want you to do is open his eyes of understanding. If he is a wit, he will agree with the truth. This is from Elder Balagade from Osun State. Praise the Lord. Whoever it is that wrote, you didn't put your name, that what we are using to condemn other churches concerning water baptism, that we should use a better and tangible reason for being the reason why we say other churches are wrong concerning water baptism. But I also note that this person believes that baptism should be in the name of Jesus Christ. From what he says, the baptism should be in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus emphasized the name. But to him, whether it is sprinkling or infant baptism, to him, baptism is baptism. Whichever way you do it, it doesn't matter. Amen. Listen, church. One other church was condemning us that we don't have any other thing we preach in this church. That all we do is every Tuesday, gather people, we say nothing else than water baptism every Tuesday. Church, we will continue to talk about water baptism every Tuesday. The reason is because, amen, the reason is because our Tuesday program is a healing and deliverance service. Our Tuesday program is a healing and deliverance service. That is what we come here on Tuesday to do. We don't talk about water baptism on Sunday. There are other things we come here on Sunday. We worship and we hear Bible study. We do Bible reading and we teach the word. Other aspects of salvation. But once it is a healing and deliverance service, like Tuesday program is dedicated for, we did not tell you to come here with a dry fasting. I am not against dry fasting. But when we come here, our emphasis is that water baptism, because water baptism is tied to your healing and deliverance. That's the reason we emphasize it every Tuesday here. It is tied to your healing and deliverance. Because water baptism takes you to where you derive the right to receive your healing and deliverance. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that overcoming power is derived from the cross of Calvary. And that is where Jesus Christ shed his blood. And to identify with that blood, praise the Lord, is to go for water baptism. You come under the blood of Jesus Christ. When you repent and you enter that water, and when you come out, the reason why Satan has been accusing you and tormenting you is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Blind people who don't know anything about salvation, they will teach otherwise and try to downplay water baptism. The first step you take when you give your life to Christ is repentance. When you repent, the next thing is go and wash away your sins. It is our sin that has reduced us to what we are today. What happened on the cross? I mean, the Garden of Eden separated man from God. And God sent Jesus Christ to remit that sin and get us reconciled to him. We are justified, the Bible says, through his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ justifies us, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Your sin is not remitted. You cannot be entitled to any lasting deliverance. With the Son of Man set free, he is the one that sets us free. And he set us free through his blood. The freedom there, he set us free from the power of the enemy over us. The power of the enemy over us was settled on the cross of Calvary. That knowledge makes you untouchable by the enemy. That knowledge puts you on the right side for a battle to possess your possession. When we teach water baptism here, you don't know what God is doing with you. Ministers have set up churches and they have become like a hospital. When you come here, we teach you how to receive lasting deliverance and how to fight a winning battle. How to be an overcomer. The day you catch the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ, the day you have personal revelation of that and you anchor in it, I am telling you, most of this running from church to church, it will stop. Most of this running after prophets, it will stop. Telling you, people don't know the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. People say they are Christians. Many of us, we are only church members, not Christians. Don't know what it is to be a Christian. It's very easy to know them. Church members, they pride with the name of the church they belong. Can you imagine somebody telling you that you are untouchable because you are a member of a church? How can you be untouchable by the devil because you are a member of a church? How can somebody teach you that? That means that church is a cult.
It's a cult. How can you say that? How can a true man of God say you are a servant of God, teaching salvation, and make people believe that because they belong to a particular church, they are untouchable? That person is a servant of Satan. You are the leader of a cult with Bible in your hands. We are called to point people to the cross where they receive their salvation. Not to point people to any human being. Not to point people to any church. There's no salvation in any church. There's salvation in only a name. What is that name? Say it now. That's where there is salvation. No salvation in any other name. At the mention of the name of your church, every knee shall. Oh. Some of you will hang your pastor's picture. When Satan wants to finish a human being, that is the level he will go. The most ridiculous estate of a human being is to claim to be a Christian and yet allow devil turn you to an idolater with Bible in your hand. Idol worshipper. You've made a human being your pastor. That's why when I measure your church now, you go vex. Because that's the name of your cult. Amen. You can say anything against Brand Assembly Church. Now you savvy. It will not move me one bit. Amen. I am not going to heaven because I am a member of Brand Assembly. So it does not make nothing to me. The name. I hear some people with all this denominational hangover. Like people who come from choosing. They are the ones that when they want to give testimony, they say, praise the Lord, the God of bride has answered my prayer. The God of bride. You don't know his name. You don't know his name. His name is God of bride. Now hang over. Where they come from, the thing sit there in head. They never clean finish. Praise God. I'm going to heaven because I am a Christian. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be a Christian, don't be a church member. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some people go vex now when they call you for the first time. When did this man they talk? You say reason. What are they talk? Not be correcting as they talk. There is no name of any church in heaven. There is no name of any church in heaven. And no church is a gateway to heaven. The gateway to heaven is Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me, Jesus. When you don't know your Bible, then people will be confusing you. Praise the Lord. So, how can you know about salvation and downplay water baptism? How are you under the blood then? How can the blood speak for you? How have you identified with the blood? It's through water baptism. As you enter that water and come out, whatever Satan has been using against you as a power to torment you, whether they are ancestral curse, foundational problem, whether now you do them, now you go sell your soul to an occultic place, and but now you have repented, you have decided to follow Jesus, give your life to him, and you go to take his name in that water. As you enter that water and come out, whatever is being used against you is washed away. Now, you have a right now to possess your possession. He will not leave you because you enter water. He will not leave you. But the power over you has been broken. Now you can go for deliverance. Don't go for deliverance until you are under the blood. If not, the blood will not speak for you. And Satan knows that law better than so many Christians. So when you go where there is some anointing, anointed man of God, and the two deliver and the demon come out, I am telling you, it is a spiritual law. Satan knows it. The demon will only live because of the fire around. But the right to leave you permanently, you don't have it. Because that blood will not speak for you. So he only goes and waits for you. As you finish, he will come back to you. There is nothing to wave him away. You want to say, Satan, I plead the blood of this demon, I want to come back again. The blood of Jesus. Are you under the blood? How can the blood speak for you when you are not under the blood? That's why we emphasize it here every time. And all around the world, people are listening to us. It is so important, that's why Satan perverted it. And people will make you believe you have baptized. Meanwhile, you have not baptized, because how to baptize is in the Bible. And you do it contrary to what is in the Bible, it is not acceptable. You cannot do infant baptism. And you cannot sprinkle. It is wrong. Satan knows it is wrong. Heaven will not back it up. And you must repent before you go there. If you don't repent, you are wasting your time. You have only entered to swim. When you come out, Satan knows who you be. You must first repent. Then after that, then he, God himself, promised to give you the Holy Ghost. The power to resist that nonsense is given to us. That's why when we finish water baptism, we bring you to the altar here and pray for you to receive the Holy Ghost. That's why also in the church here, from time to time, we organize our baptism of the Holy Ghost program, so that those who have been justified can be glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Any question? Any theologian here? Any theologian that understand Bible better than we don't get Bible school? Because I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't go to school of theology. Maybe you know better than me. You can point it out to me. Any question? Come forward.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
The water baptism of Satan is, to me, I understand it perfectly. But the area I'm going is, I've had people giving testimony that in a bus, or they have been attacked by armed robbers or whoever. And it's like, they ask you, where do you worship? And the person now say, mention a particular church, and the attack ceased, or they did not continue with their intention. So, is it not good to identify where you worship?
I didn't say you should not identify where you worship. Because one of the things that where you identify also, stands you out to what you believe. It's identity. Name is identity. Because there are these armed robbers and these criminals, even Satan himself, he knows which is a true church and which is a wrong one. So when he look at you, he say, you, from the way you look, he look the woman, he know wear earring, he know paint your face, he know palm your hair. He go look. Then I say, this one. Now, fire go be this one. If I touch this one now, if he go pray, my business go end. My maker know where he did. Come, where you come from? If you say you are from deeper life, you go say, not true. Not them be that. They know through, but they will not ask a woman that wear tight jeans and dress her breast, they show out. And her nails like winch. And paint her face like masculine. They will not ask which church you come from. Because they know that one are prostitute. So that's the reason. But remember, where I am saying is, when those armed robbers came, was the person mentioning the name of his church? That's what I'm saying. You won't mention name of your church. You will mention name of your God. And your church is not your God.
Bless you, sir.
God bless you. Wait again.
Praise the Lord. Sir, I want to ask a question. If one has been baptized in a mansion before, not sprinkling nor infant baptism, can that person go through another baptism again?
If somebody
have been baptized, if one have been baptized before through a mansion, through the dipping in a mansion, not sprinkling.
In which name?
In the name of Jesus.
You are baptized correctly now. Okay. Correct water baptism is by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus after you have repented. I have been emphasizing repentance too. Because some people now, because of deliverance, they go wrong, go enter water. That's why I've been emphasizing repent, 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 repent. You are living with your boyfriend. And you face disappointment every time a man comes to you, they face disappointment. And the people say, this one, oh, they shake, the thing they shake, make this one no break. Make I go for water baptism and say that this one will marry me. Then you go enter water baptism. And then you come out, come go back again, they live with the man. Have you baptized? Ah, that's wrong baptism. Oh. In fact, that spirit will vex with you, sir. So stop it. You must repent. Why will you live with a man that has not married you? You are a fornicator. In fact, a prostitute. But why will a woman go and live with a man who never marry you? And why will you carry somebody's daughter and stay with you and then you don't marry her and they live with you? Say what happened. She knows she doesn't have accommodation, so I say, maybe she can't live with me. Then, why not go and get her accommodation? Or you leave your own for her and go and squat somewhere. You know what you are doing. You know the thing they chop every time. I make her reconcile with you. And then under that, when witch come for your window, they cry for night. Witch, then you say, blood of Jesus. You and the girl, they stand the blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire. Wait, water for bride. Give me water for bride. The Holy Ghost fire. You know you're wasting. The demon will laugh at you like this. Say, which blood? God doesn't work like that. The blood of Jesus is not to be messed up. It's not to be messed up. He suffered that wicked death on the cross. Not for people to make caricature of it like that. He can't take it. Don't do that. If you don't want to serve him, go. It's not compulsory. It doesn't force anybody to worship him. But if you want to worship him, then worship him properly.
Praise the Lord. May God bless you, sir. Well, actually, some of us who are here to learn, and whatever we are learning here, we're taking it outside. Now, I want to ask a question. I was discussing with the pastor, that was on Sunday. Then I came to realize that, men, we have two fear. One, the fear of God, and fear of man. Now we're just discussing about church setting, like some other churches that will open branches all over and push pastors. Then, if you watch armed robbers, now armed robbers many of them don't have the fear of God, but they have the fear of man. In terms of maybe, like they're afraid of police, you know, cutting them, it might make them not to go and rob. Are you getting it? Now, sir, what I'm asking is this. Like, under this ministry, there is a pattern, there is a way, according to the Bible. Now, by the special grace of God, I have been opportune to visit some ministers that have left this church. And when I go there, I discover the kind of churches they are building. It does not resemble what you are teaching them here. Are you getting it? They live different when they leave this church. Now, my question is this. Like, there are some of them that might be here until Christ come. But maybe some of them, they have not caught in that revelation that you caught. And they are obeying this ministry just because they are under you for now. Now, I want to ask, what will be their position when Christ come? And probably those who have left and you know, and build there, whatever.
Have you been coming here? I don't know how long you've been coming here. I think your familiar face. You have been coming here now.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
But you are not a member of this church.
When I'm member, let me just say something. Praise God.
You have been coming here.
Yeah.
But you are not a member of this church.
Yeah.
No, everybody cannot be a member of this church. Where is your church?
Well, I fellowship with assemblies.
Assemblies of God.
Yeah.
Now, listen, but you have been coming here.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I tell you very sincerely and faithfully too, but very humbly too, I'm hoping you will understand me. That, do you know you yourself, you have been coming here, but you don't understand what we are saying here? If you do, you will not be in assemblies of God.
Praise God.
Because people like you have heard me and they have left assemblies of God. But you come and hear me and you stay comfortable there. So you are the same group with those who were here and they leave. It is your understanding that determines what you do from what you hear. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. One thing I want to say.
Let me quickly also add something. Maybe you will understand this better.
Okay, sir.
Eve. You know the story of Eve in the Garden of Eden?
Yes, sir.
Eh? We try to teach you, to let you know, that two sons were produced from one womb. Correct? What are their names? What are their names?
I didn't hear you clear.
That's why I asked that question, to make sure you are hearing me. Eve had two children. Eve had two children, correct?
Yes, sir.
What are their names? No, I want to hear you.
Esau and Jacob. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. You are really hearing us here.
Sir, Cain and Abel.
Okay, now you have heard it. Somebody told you by your site, expo. You people, they do expo for here. And they do expo. Eve, one woman, Eve, she conceived Abby. From the same womb, two children came out. What are their names?
That's Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel. Do they have the same character?
No, sir.
But they have the same mama?
Yes, sir.
So, why are you surprised that two groups of people leave this church? Some people leave this church, and what you see them standing for, their behavior, the pattern, what they do there is different from the womb they came out from. It is because one of those two children did not believe, because the two children had two fathers, but the same mother. That is the story of wheat and tares. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. They are all in the same womb. They planted in that womb by two different fathers. One is called wheat. Another one is called tares. But in the same farm, in the same womb. Tare, na tare. Wheat, na wheat. Even when they come out of the same womb. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, sir. There's something I want to.
I think I'll finish with you. Any other question?
There's something I want to add with what just you said. Now, just like the place that I just packed in. Now something surprises me a lot. Now, there is one particular well in that my very compound that I'm staying now. That is at Marlboro. That I've been going to that well to fetch water. Now. But every time I come there, I will just fetch this water and go. But what surprises me is, even up to today, I'm still meditating on that. When I got to that well, that's the last time I think I went there, I saw this plaque that printed, "Warn your pastor."
Yes.
When I saw that in there, I just come and I said, "Who brought this plaque here?" I said, "I don't know. I know nobody that is living It's only one man. That man belongs to redeem. So I don't know. I shared this with somebody who is
So your question is, who brought it there?
Yes, sir.
No, we distributed. Somebody may have collected it and dropped it there. I have two examples. There is a sister that says she was walking on the street and she saw a tract on the ground. And she said she picked the tract. People had stepped on it. She picked the tract and she said she made a statement. This tract is not useful to the person that dropped it, but this tract may be useful to me. Make I pick up. And from reading it, and it was one your pastor. From reading it, that is how she got delivered. And today, she's an inter-message believer. There's another one. Pastor Peter, he was a soldier with the ECOMOG in Sierra Leone. And then he went to the bush to poo-poo. And then he saw a paper, and then he took it so that he was in the bush to clean himself when he finished. Then he began to read it. Why the poo-poo? Because this is an ordinary paper. What did they talk here? In Syria alone. That is how he didn't use it again. He decided to use leaf. And then, as a soldier in the bush, you know, use anything. And that is how he traced that address he saw there. And he gave his life to Christ from that. So it's true that God can use it. He knows how to find his own anywhere, anywhere. God bless you. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord. Sir, please, I have one little question that has been bothering me. Let's imagine someone has done the right water baptism, and then the person is in a church like this, let's say for 5 years. And with the kind of prayer that we pray here, I believe those prayers can break any chain. It can break any yoke. And let's say that person has been tied down by his uncle for 5 years. And he's praying those kind of prayers. Then suddenly one day, my question is, do those prayers not work? Why I'm asking this question is because a prophet will now come and now call that person out and said, you've been tied down by your uncle for the past 5 years. And by the decree, God said you're loose, blah, blah, blah. Now, I just kind of wonder, I said, what about all the prayers that he has been praying? Has the prayer not been touching that kind of situation? Somebody who's been baptized, committed 5 years and been tied down for 5 years, is it only when a prophet now come and make a declaration? Because that seems to be why people are in a hurry to see a prophet. They don't seem to have confidence, faith in the prayer that they pray. So I just want a little...
If you listen carefully, I want you to understand that God gave Abraham and his seed the land of Canaan. Correct? Answer so that they can hear you.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. And Joshua was the one, after Moses left, that was given the commission to take them to their promised land. Correct?
Yes.
Who promised them that land?
God.
Who promised them?
God.
Do you know that for every inch of that land in the promised land that God gave them, before they possessed it, they fought a battle?
Yes, they did, which is the prayer we are praying here.
Fine. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible tells us that we are in a spiritual warfare. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what?
Principalities
and powers and all the rest. So we are in a battlefield. But also, God himself takes over a battle when you hand over the battle to him. And when you are sure you have fulfilled all that is required for a battle, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. And you are sure you are equipped with that armor. You are sure that the accuser of the brethren cannot accuse you of anything to withhold
your prayers, then just know that it means God Himself is designing a special way of ending that battle. Because some battles may be God's own way of taking us through a training to place us where He has destined us to be. Praise the Lord. For the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, in the land of the Amorites, one time, the children of Israel were there. And these Amorites were busy tormenting them and tormenting the Israelites. And they went to God as if, can't you see what these Amorites are doing? Why not avenge for us? And God spoke to the children of Israel. He said He is waiting for the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites to be filled. So it is also possible that God wants the person tormenting you for his cup to be full. And when God will descend on him, then you will know that you have a God behind you. Praise the Lord. But now listen, one way of defeating the enemy in such battle is to concentrate more on God than the problem. When you have handed over the problem to God, then reduce your prayer of fire, fall down, die, and do like Jehoshaphat and begin to give glory to God. Because by faith, you have handed over to Him, you know He is in charge. When you turn to that type of faith, then you hasten the end of that battle. Because praises move God faster than anything else. He will step down and fight that battle. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. But I like that because I think that is the right thing. Because I'm not so much used to going to people to pray for me. In fact, like 2 years ago, I received a revelation to come to Pastor Moses to pray for me. I'm a pastor myself, but I come here occasionally. But because I'm not so much going to people to pray for me, I believe I need to pray this.
Now I know your problem. Praise God. Now that is very serious. That is serious. And that is the kind of faith many of us operate. You have been talking to God, you have a problem. And He gives you solution. And you want to do it your own way. So He steps aside and leaves you. So, why are you still blaming Him again? Any prayer you pray, He will never answer you again. Because He has already told you what to do. He answered your prayer long ago. And because you too, you are a pastor. Okay, go ahead. God bless you. From Uyo, Akwa Ibom State. Now, sir, concerning your teachings on water baptism, I know what you are saying is scripturally correct. But, sir, the thief on the cross, justified and taken to paradise, was he baptized by Jesus? People ask that kind of question. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. You ask that kind of question to downplay the importance of water baptism before salvation. But let me quickly tell you this. Grace started only after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anybody that died before the resurrection of Jesus Christ was under the old covenant. The thief on the cross is the last saint that came in under the old covenant. So, he did not need baptism by Jesus Christ. Because he came under the old covenant. God bless you. Yes.
Sir, God bless you, sir. I want to ask concerning water baptism. Someone, one of my brother called me that I should be I should be a godfather of her daughter in Catholic Church. So I normally I came here and I hear the word and concerning water baptism, I understand it. So for me to be a godfather of that person, I don't know things that will make me to be a godfather of person and to be a godfather of person in Catholic Church.
Well, that is the Catholic religion. Yeah. That's how they do it. But Christians don't do that, because concerning salvation, there is one mediator between God and man. The Bible says, who is the person? The man Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So what they're actually trying to make you do is to take the place of Jesus. To stand for that child. And no revelated person to do it. But that is Catholic religion. I'm talking about Christianity.
Right,
that's Catholic religion. I'm talking about Christianity. Christians don't do that, but Catholics do it. That's their religion.
So, and I want to know the specific year someone will be to be baptized.
A year that you are old enough to acknowledge your sin and repent. Then you go for water baptism.
Like I brought a lady here. I brought one of my mate, yeah. So I want her to go water baptism.
You are the one that want her, not she wants. That's wrong baptism. That's wrong baptism. Leave her. You continue to preach to her until she say, "Uncle, I want to be baptized." Then you can bring her.
All right. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.